Welcome to the Radiant Springs Church Podcast. Check out our website at radiantsprings.com for more information about us. If you are challenged with what you hear on this podcast, come join us on Sunday mornings at 10 o'clock for our contemporary worship, message, fellowship, and coffee. Radiant Springs. Refreshing, relevant, real.
As you're coming forward, I just want to greet you again. I am Toby Schneckloth. They introduced me earlier, and it is my privilege to visit with you this morning. I came in from Grand Island. That's where I live and work out of our state headquarters for Assemblies of God churches across Nebraska. And I am the director of student ministries, so that's kids all the way up through college. And young adults, and I work with all those age groups in our churches just to help provide awesome ministry. And aren't you guys glad that you have great ministry to your youth and your kids and college students here at Radiant Springs? Yes. That was a craft kind of cheer right there. That's what that was. You do have a rich history of that, and I am so grateful for all that you've done to invest in the next generation. And Jay is doing a great job. I just met him a few weeks ago, and I'm really excited as we're journeying together with the youth ministry here. And I know the kids is booming. Look at all these kids around here. You guys are doing a good job making kids. Good job. And I know I'm kind of teasing there, but actually, there are a lot of churches across our state that wish they had the amount of young people and young kids that you guys have. So that is a blessing, and I encourage you, even when they're a little loud at times, or maybe they make a mess or whatever, just, it's good. It's a good thing to have, because that's a sign of life, and you have that here at Radiant Springs. I want to thank Pastor Brent and Amy for the invitation to come. They are my good friends. I know he's away ministering on the East Coast today, working on some things there, but this is always a privilege. I think I was here maybe 5 years ago. Some of you might remember me from back when I came before, and it is, like I said, it's a trip, treat to come back. I also want to say thank you to all the leadership here, and I saw several of our ministers, AG ministers out there, so thank you for being here as well, and I'm just excited to be with you guys this morning. So I focus on ministry to students, and the name of our ministry is Nebraska Youth Ministries. How many of you have ever been to one of our different events for kids of any kind? All right, look at all those hands. That's awesome. Well, thank you so much, and I'm glad that you were able to participate in the things that we do when we come together as churches across the state. I wanted to give you a snapshot of what that is. Rather than just telling you what we do, I'm going to show you, and a little video here that has some highlights over the last year of Nebraska Youth Ministries. So if you see somebody you know, feel free to cheer like it's the craft celebration again, all right, or whatever you want to do. But you can cheer for them if you want. If you see some people you know, you probably will. Let's enjoy a little snapshot of NYM. All right, so a little snapshot of Nebraska Youth Ministries. And some of you recognize some people there. Basically, those are images from our camps in the summertime, our weekend conventions during the school year, our missions trips, different activities, raising funds for our missionaries. You saw the pictures on the bikes. We do a bike ride every year. In fact, Creed has hosted us once or twice on that bike ride, which has been a lot of fun. And so we just have a lot of different activities and programs that we do together as churches across Nebraska to support our young people and to think about the next generation. So thank you again for your investment in that. I'm excited because our next event that's coming up is our youth conventions, and I wanted to show you a snapshot of that. The theme there is audacious, and first weekend of November in Lincoln, students from all across eastern Nebraska are going to come together. We'll probably have, I think, about 700 or 800 of us there at Christ Place Church. And we'll hear from a great speaker. His name's Timothy McCain. He's an evangelist out of Florida. He's going to do a great job for us. And we're going to have a few services. We'll promote our activities coming up for 2018. And it's a great time for students who were at camp having fun together to acclimate themselves with each other again, remember all the awesome things that we committed to over the summer, and make sure we're staying strong for God this school year. So I'm excited to have your students out with us for that event. I also, many of the images also were from our campgrounds. How many of you have ever been to our district-owned campgrounds in Lexington, Nebraska? Wow, look at that. Lots of people. That is awesome. That may be one of the strongest percentages I've seen in a church for a long time. And it's no surprise because your pastors are great supporters of our campground. Brent was my chairman of the board for our camp for a while. Of course, he has a history of running a camp himself, part of his pedigree as a pastor now. And now as a presbyter, he's part of my governing board for the campground. And one of the management items that I lead is our campgrounds. So I oversee the staff and our vision for the business there. And our campgrounds over the last few years has really seen just a resurgence of business and activity. And right now we're in a very good place. God has blessed us and helped us to kind of turn things around with our budget. And so I'm excited because we have several projects that we're working on that were deferred maintenance for many years that are being updated. And all the students in here said, amen. this last year, we had several people that came out and volunteered and helped us as we are remodeling our rec center. We lovingly refer to as the pop stand. Used to be where we had services at the camp. This is way before my time. And then it was an old dining center. And now we use it for just a fun recreation center where we sell lots of food and play games and have a good time. But we put new siding around the building. We fixed the roof and the foundation. We've got a nice outdoor serving window with a beautiful patio area. And this last year, we put in bathrooms finally. Isn't that amazing? We had all that and never had bathrooms in the facility. People were just going wherever they could find, you know. But now they get to eat all that junk food and go right in the same building. Isn't that a treat? At the same time, we had to adjust our electrical needs, and that facility was way outside of code because it was such an old building. And we had a nice Christian company from Kearney that came by, which is right next door to Lexington there, and they gave us a bill of $21,000 to update the electrical panel there, which was way beyond what we had anticipated. And so we prayed, and one of the volunteers kind of talked to some of the people he knew and got in touch with an electrical leader that helps establish the code for the state of Nebraska here in Lincoln. And they came out to our camp, saw what we were about, and actually did it for 1/10 of the price. It was pretty amazing that God did that miracle. And so we've got a beautiful center there. And our last activity to remodel in there will be done this spring, so by next summer. And that's remodeling the inside, the rest of the inside with the walls and the ceiling, the floor. It's just going to be a beautiful facility. I'm very excited about that. And so if whether you've been there before, or if you've not been there ever at all, I invite you to come and be a part of our camp with us this next summer. I'm sure you'll hear all about it. And we will let you come for free if you're working. And we will work you hard, but it's a lot of fun. You might be working in that pop stand. In fact, that's one of the places we get about 10 to 12 volunteers every year. And you can help make pizza rolls and change students' lives. It's all part of it, but thank you again for your commitment to the camp. I know we've had to raise prices over the years and do some of those things just to keep up with business. And I just appreciate your work as a family, your work as a church, to send your students to the campground and to help us keep that incredible resource for future generations. Our theme for convention is audacious. And that word basically means to be bold and take big risks. And we want to challenge our students to do that. And it's not hard to challenge students nowadays to do that. That's very much a part of the culture. They like to do that anyway. So we want to challenge them to do it for God. Amen? Rather than just trying to make, you know, news or get attention for themselves, we want them to do great things for the kingdom of God. And when you think about being bold and taking big risks, you want to do things that stand out from the crowd. So let's just discuss some of those things now. Like, look at this picture. You know, all of us can do certain tricks with our bodies that make us stand out from there. How many of you are able to take your thumb off? Have you ever done that before? Yeah? A few of you are shaking your hands. Yeah, that makes you stand out from the crowd. But there are certain tricks that go beyond the normal, you know, with your thumb. Like, for instance, this kid here, I mean, that's an amazing feat. Jesus walks on water. He does headstands on water, right? Or this next one here, what an awesome, you know, ability to take your head off and put it in the sand. earlier we were in here going through the slides, and they were leading worship practice, and I forget what song it was, but it was really hard to worship practice and see this picture on the screen at the same time. We should try that sometime in worship. I'm sure we could do it, but yeah, that helps you stand out from the crowd and be audacious. Another thing that makes us stand out from the crowd is names, right? My name definitely stands out, Toby Schneckloth, all right? Every time someone introduces me, I think the thing they're most nervous about is how do you say that name? And I've heard some really great renditions of that. And the truth is, that's not even that. It's just two syllables. There's probably people here that have more than two syllables in your last name. Is that right? Anybody out there? A couple of them. Yeah, the Braunbergers are definitely good examples for me. There's all kinds of names around Nebraska, so Schneckloth not nearly that bad. But most of the names that stand out are things like, you know, businesses or street names. You know, I can't remember the street address here, but it's probably nothing, you know, too fancy. But can you imagine what it would be like if our church was on this street here, Friendship Street? Wouldn't that be great? You know, Friendship Assembly of God. But otherwise, you could be on a street like Booger Branch. Yeah. Come to Burger Branch Assembly of God. We would just love to clean out your nose right here. Or maybe, you know, the pastor's wife would not appreciate Amy if we lived at Dumb Woman's Lane. Yeah. Don't think the woman's ministry is going to be very strong at that church, right? Whenever I travel across Nebraska, where does everybody think we live? On Angus Avenue. That's right. Nebraska, the capital of the world with the beef. And then finally, another thing that makes us stand out is who we cheer for our team affiliation. I assume there's a lot of Crete fans here in Crete. Is that right? Yeah, cheering on your high school here. Class B school. I'm from Grand Island. My kids go to Northwest, also Class B school. So we cheer for the Vikings. You can see the picture here coming up, the Northwest Vikings. And it was our homecoming week. I was just in the concession Friday night having fun with that. So that's what I identify with. But sometimes your team affiliation makes you stand out more than you really want it to. Like, for instance, can you imagine how tough it would be to be the coach for this school, the Barry coach, right? Yeah, really striking fear in your opponents. Or maybe if you're trying to get a bunch of strong, you know, boys to win the state title for the Meek wrestling team. Yeah. Wouldn't that be horrible? That sounds like an oxymoron to me. Or I know many of you felt like you really were set up in life, because how are you going to succeed when you went to school, your very first school at Hard Elementary, right? That's a real school out there. And I thought, man, they have a great excuse, you know, anything that happens in life. No, just trying to have a little fun there. But we want to be people that stand out from the crowd. And I wanted to tell you a story about something that really stood out for me recently. And here's a picture of it. Many of you have asked about my shirt already. SAGU stands for Southwestern Assemblies of God University. And it's one of the colleges that I help represent for our students at our events because it's one of the options they have. Now, I wore this today for my buddy Josh, because he's an alumni of that school and went there. And so Josh has been was our camp director this last year and a good friend of mine. So Josh, this is for you, all right? Because technically, I think this would be more Trinity area, which is where... Oh, Evangel now. Yeah, because we have a lot of Evangel students, don't we? So don't be afraid, all right? I do support those schools, too. Actually, Evangel hasn't sent me a shirt in years, so I would wear it, but they just don't think about it. Trinity, I have a lot of great clothes I could wear, but I wouldn't preach in them. It's all athletic gear that they send me. But this is from Trinity Bible College in North Dakota. And this is the vice president there, Ian, and they've got all these great people there. But you can see this couple here that's sitting over to the side. And last fall, I had the chance to go to the college, and they were commissioning a brand new state-of-the-art prayer chapel. Gorgeous facility. Now, Trinity, much like our campground, has really had some challenges trying to keep up on their business through the years. So this was a huge win for them that they had this great new prayer chapel with classrooms and places to convene as students. And so I was excited for them. And there was a whole room full of students and parents and people from all across this region. And even here, this was our general treasurer at the time. He's just appointed as our new superintendent of all the Assemblies of God. His name is Doug Clay. And he was there as the guest speaker. I mean, it was a really special time. But I was really amazed because right after Ian was announcing at this moment, he brought up this older couple that was standing off to the side, and they told the story. And Ian and a couple of his team had gone to meet them at their home, and they're just a simple, normal couple, but God has blessed them with an amazing farming business, and they have incredible wealth. And they're benefactors for the school. They've had major gifts that they've given before. And so Ian went to them and said, we have this vision for a prayer chapel, and we would love to see if you would once again be willing to give a good gift to us to help us accomplish it. Now, Ian told us how he had in his mind thought somewhere between $200,000 and $300,000. Now, if anybody wants to give a gift to the camp today, just come talk to me afterwards. You know, we're ready. Or to the church. You know, we're ready for those things. But he went in thinking, wow, this would be great if we could get that. Sure enough, the husband and wife talked to each other, prayed about it, and came back to him and said, no, we want to support the whole thing. And it was close to $2 million that they gave to make this prayer chapel happen. It's named in honor of their daughter, I think had passed away. You might know the story, but she had passed away fighting a disease earlier on, and so it was in her memory. And a wonderful couple. I was just amazed when they came up and spoke. You know, they didn't speak with anything that would have signaled them out from anybody else. But here they were, these tremendous givers. And it was such a picture for me of what it means to be all in. They could have easily given $300,000 and met, you know, Ian's need. And maybe it wouldn't have hurt them that much. But instead they gave a significant amount that I'm sure cost them greatly to do so. That's what it means to be all in. And that's the title of my message here this morning. If you're keeping notes, you can write it in. But the title is All In. God wants us to be all in for him. Now, I have another picture up here I need to explain. Because you see, it's a report card. No, you can go back here. Go back to the next one. You see this report card, and it's got all these wonderful grades. And then all of a sudden, there's this F right here. This is my daughter's report card. One of the beauties of being a pastor's kid is you get your stories told everywhere in front of everybody. I'm sure there's a lot of Braunberger stories from the boys over the years, yeah. But here's an F. Well, sure enough, this was the first time they'd ever done these student-led parent-teacher conferences. And what would happen, and I'm sure this has happened in schools here, that my own child walked me through her report. And she had a little computer screen, and she's walking us through it. And this was back when, oh, I don't know, maybe 4 years ago. She's in middle school. Abby is my youngest child, and she's always been a great student, always had straight A's and just really works hard. I'm very proud of her for that. So she starts walking through her stuff, and all of a sudden this screen comes up, and we see an F. And my wife looks at her and says, Abby, is that an F I see? And Abby starts, like, tears coming up in her eyes. And I looked at Kim, and I said, Kim, that there's no way. That I've never seen that in Abby. There's no way that could be true. So Abby's like ready to burst out in tears. She's so scared, you know. Here she is, first time she's ever been a part of these meetings. And she's like, I can't believe it. So we called the teacher over, and sure enough, the teacher looked at her own records, and they had an error, and that was a complete mistake. And in fact, she had a perfect score in that class at that time. So Abby, of course, was breathing a big sigh of relief. And I thought, what a picture of somebody who's all in, because even though this came up, I was confident, no, I think there's something going on there. And God wants us to be all in. The verse that I want to point us to as a memory verse for our lives is this, Philippians 1, 21. One of the programs I oversee for young people is called Bible Quiz. And not a lot of students participate in that because it is a tremendous amount of work, but students memorize long passages of the Bible, significant amounts of verses. And it's an awesome ministry that especially can benefit when it comes time for college and scholarships and things like that. But the reason I mention that is because memorizing the Bible should not just be for kids. It really should be part of every Christian's life. So I encourage you, if this is not a regular part of your devotional life with God, memorizing the Bible, somehow find a way to make it a part of who you are, all right? So this is a great verse that it's not my main text, but I want you to take this, write it down, be a great memory verse for you. For to me, this is Paul speaking there in Philippians, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, Paul, of course, is writing this from, I believe, a prison cell, and he's facing potential persecution and death, which was a regular part of his missionary journey in the end. And he's saying this, I am not afraid because my life is all about Christ. If I have another day, I'm going to give it all to God. But if he takes those days away, then I will receive my reward in heaven. So I'm all in because what do I have to lose? That's what Paul, that's his attitude. Well, we would say you could lose your life. He's saying, I already lost it years ago to Jesus. Because to me, if I die, I just gain eternity with Christ in heaven. What an attitude of being all in. What a great example for us. I encourage you to take that verse and memorize it and let it be part of who you are. But I want to point us now to my text. And if you have your Bibles, would you open up to the Gospel of John? We're going to be in John chapter 6. You can go ahead and put that up there on the screens. Starting with verse 1, I'll read this here, this story. Sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, and a great crowd of people followed him because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Jesus went up on a mountainside and sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover feast was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming toward him, he said to Philip, "Where shall we buy bread for these people to eat?" He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered, "It would take more than half a year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite." Another of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up, "Here's a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many?" Jesus said, "Have the people sit down." There was plenty of grass in that place, and they sat down. About 5,000 men were on hand. Jesus took the loaves, gave thanks, and distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they'd all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, "Gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted." So they gathered them and filled 12 baskets with the pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten. They filled 12 baskets full of the leftovers of 5 pieces of bread. Isn't that amazing? What a miracle. In this passage, I think we find a great example of what it means to be all in. And I want to dissect that for our benefit this morning. This particular miracle is actually one of the better known miracles that Jesus performed in our world today. And I'm not just speaking within the church, but even outside of it. If you would ask a common person who's not a church person, what are some miracles you know of in the Bible? They probably might mention the resurrection of Jesus and the virgin birth because of Easter and Christmas. But outside of that, this is one that most people will think of. Well, he fed 5,000. And because it's a very popular passage that's been preached a lot, and it's a pretty powerful miracle. Now, As I look at this, I see 4 different aspects that kind of talk to us about the value of being all in. The first thing I see is when Jesus saw the crowds coming to him, and he looked at Philip, and he said, "How are we going to feed these people?" And then we get this verse that shows us the way Jesus thinks, because it says he already had in mind what he was going to do. All right? This is the giving test. Jesus was testing his disciple. He asked him a question, but he already knew the answer. I wonder how many times in our lives God is asking a question of us, and he already knows the answer. Probably every time. I mean, we're talking about God here, right? But he did this to Philip because he was testing him. He wanted to see how Philip would think, what Philip would go to with this great need. I would challenge you that every chance you have to give to God, whether it's money, whether it's your resources, your future, your plans, your family, that's a test. An opportunity where God is seeing, are you all in? Now, the reason I think that is because we know that God has resources unlimited, right? He could call upon anything he wants at any time to do his will, but he calls upon you, and he doesn't make you, he asks you. Why would a God do that? Because he wants your heart to be all in. Because he wants us to willingly give our all to him. because he wants that devotion. He wants that relationship. He wants that love back to him like he loves us in the same way. So when you have an opportunity to give, remember, it's not so much really about what you're giving to, but God's asking you to give. It's more about what you're doing on the inside. It's a chance for you to worship God. One of the things I love about our worship time is that it was followed by a time of giving, like literally giving money. That's a part of worship just as much as singing the songs and just as much as we're doing now. It's all worship and a gift to God. So I want you to think, when was the last time you felt that God was asking something from you? Maybe you can't remember a moment, but I want you to think back. Take a moment. When was the last time you can remember God was asking? Maybe somebody was making an announcement up here and we need some help in the kids. And you know, something turned and, uh-oh, I think God might be saying that I should help with that. Or maybe it was, an offering time. Or maybe it was in your devotion and you were thinking about something and you felt like God was encouraging you to step up in this area. My question would be, did you pass the test? Let's move on to the second thing I see in this passage. And that's the moment where Philip answers, it would take half a year's wages. And then Andrew jumps in. Now, I love Andrew because if I'm one of Jesus' disciples and I see the stuff Jesus does, I'm a little scared to jump in because you never know what's going to happen. I mean, you're a bold person. So he's already got a little bit of that in him. And he jumps in because he found this boy that has this food. So Philip just said, it's going to take hundreds and hundreds of hours and time and dollars to do this. And Andrew, who just has a heart of gold, jumps in and says, well, I found this kid that has a few scraps. But how far will that go? You know, I see that giving can produce hope in us and in others. Now, that's an oxymoron because giving is the act of losing something willingly. How does that produce hope? Because it focuses on what could be instead of what is. You see, Philip was only looking at what was. We don't have the money for this. Andrew saw a glimmer of hope and thought, but how is that going to go anywhere? Jesus looked down and saw that's the answer. When you give, that's a chance to see what could be. And that brings hope in our lives. It's a change of attitude. It's a change of thinking. Instead of thinking about what we don't have anymore, now we're thinking about what we do. Because God wants to use us to do great things. Otherwise, he could do it any way he wants, but he asks you to give. That's being all in produces hope. Now, the third thing, and I want to land here for a little bit, is that giving involves sacrifice. And the real character of this story that I think shows us all in is not Jesus, although we know he's all in. It's not Philip and Andrew. It's not all 5,000 men who are sitting on the grass, which I think is funny that they have to point out there was grass, all right? I mean, come on, are these men or what? You can't sit on the ground without grass, you know? It's like, who are these guys? But they point that out. I thought it was kind of neat. I love how the Bible has little details like that. The real character is the boy. Now, of course, I'm the youth director of Nebraska. I'm going to champion the young person. But isn't it great that the hero of the story was a little child? Now, think of it this way. There's 5,000 men sitting there, and the only one that could be called upon to help was a little boy. Where is the man out of 5,000? It's often that God chooses the unlikely to do the unbelievable. If you're sitting in here and you feel like if God was going to come into this room right now and pick his champion, and you think, I'd be last on the list, that makes you first on God's list. There's that hope again. God chose a little boy. Now, here's what's interesting about this boy, okay? He's got five bread, right, and two fish. Is that right? So he's got all this food. How in the world does this boy have this food? I mean, let's be honest. If we all showed up here today and we were hungry for breakfast, do we think some boy would have walked in with food? For me, my knowledge of like camp, when a boy has food, it's probably in his possession about 5 seconds. And then he ate it all. Okay, that's kind of what I'm talking about. I mean, it's not like boys save up any food. In fact, when we call for seconds, you know, it's the girls who are kind of looking at each other and talking, I'm not sure. And it's the boys who are like knocking their chair over and punching their neighbor so they can get first in line, you know. But it's a boy. I would have thought it had been a girl. But it was a boy. And he's a young boy, all right? I mean, he's not planning ahead. He's not thinking of his future. You know why he's got that food? Now, I'm going to elaborate. This is not in the Bible, but this is what I believe happened. Is he's running out the door from home to go see Jesus. And all of a sudden, his mom grabs his collar and says, "Get back here. What are you going to do for lunch?" "Mom, I just want to see Jesus. He's going to do miracles. I want to hear him. There's grass to sit on. It's going to be amazing." "You are not going anywhere until I get some food in a bag for you." "Oh, Mom, come on." "Nope, get over here." And she's dragged him over. Amy probably knows this from her boys all the time. "Oh, what do we have in the house? Oh, your dad took everything. Man, all I've got is these bread and this stinking fish that you never clean. Here, take this. Now go and you make sure you eat that. Do not lose that food. You make sure," you know, he's like, fine. And he runs out the door. And sure enough, all of a sudden, he's standing in front of Jesus. But he wants his food. Mom gave that to me. And if I come home and say I did not eat that for lunch, I think she's going to be a little mad, right? I mean, some of the students in here are kind of laughing because they're like, oh, yeah. There was one person in the whole place that planned ahead. Maybe it was the help of his mom. And that one person was the one God asked to give it up. And it was a boy, a young boy. He would have been eating fish sandwiches and watching everybody else go hungry. But he gave it up. Now, he didn't just give up 4 pieces of bread and 1 fish and save a little fish sandwich on the side, all right? That's what I probably would have done. I'll be honest. "Oh, well, you know, I've got enough where I can give you this, and then, you know, I'm chewing down on Long John Silver's myself." No, he gave it all. Remember that. This boy gave up the food, gave up his lunch, because Jesus asked for it. Now, we know the end of the story. That's one of the, not bad things about reading the Bible, but it's the most challenging, because sometimes we read it and don't put ourselves in the position of the person going through it. When this guy gave up his lunch, he didn't know Jesus was going to give him anything back. He just gave it because it was Jesus asking, and he wanted to be all in. That's sacrifice. And I'm so proud of him for doing it. And part of the reason I think God asked the little boy is because maybe the little boy was the only one in the place that would have had the guts to give it all. Maybe it was the rest of us or Toby sitting there that would have kept a little sandwich on the side. And I know that doesn't sound so bad, but we tend to have that attitude with God a lot in our lives. "Well, Lord, I'll give you this much, but I got to keep this because this is what I need, or this is what I want." You know, maybe it's an area of your behavior. A lot of times we know what's right and we know what's wrong. But there's certain things about the stuff that's wrong that we like. "So, God, I'm going to give you this much, but I don't know that I want to give up that behavior because that's mine." It goes way beyond just money. Time, devotion, service in your church, service in the community. How much are we willing to give to God, even if we don't know it's coming back? This boy was a true hero of the story because he was all in. And then finally, giving creates miracles. This boy gave his food. Jesus took it and gave thanks. God took it and gave a miracle. 12 baskets full of the leftovers from 5 pieces of bread. That's amazing. 1 basket for every disciple, especially for Philip and Andrew, who couldn't see it. How do you think they felt with their basket of bread going, It'd take half a year's wages. All we have is a small boy, but what could that do? Giving can create miracles. The truth is, if this boy would have ate his own food or just shared it with his friends, we'd never hear of him. You know, he'd never make it into the Bible. Instead, now, he's going to be one of the people when we get to heaven we're all going to meet as a champion, a hero. You know, there's a lot of nameless heroes in the Bible that are going to have very wonderful places in heaven because they gave it all and nobody even knew their name. And he's one of them. But we would never have known him or be talking about it 2,000 years later if he just ate his own food. He gave it away and God made something great out of it. When you give things to God, he can do so much more with it than if you just keep it for yourself. So some of you might be thinking, just like this boy, all I have is this. All I have is, that's not going to change things. How is that going to make a difference? Remember, in your hands, yeah, that's all you have. But in God's hands, it could be infinity. It could be more than, it could be 12 basketfuls when God takes it. So even if it's just a matter of making sure that we get the most out of what we have, the best thing to do is give it to God. Because his multiplication does not work on just human standards. It goes way beyond. God wants us all to be all in. You know, when he called his disciples, Jesus, he knew that every one of those guys would lose their life for him. You know, when I go and recruit a youth leader, I'm not thinking that way. When we're asking for a volunteer for kids, I mean, we're not thinking that way. But God knew when he's looking at these fishermen cleaning their nets, tax collector hiding, you know, amongst the people, zealots that just want to kill all the occupied Romans. No, he looked at them and knew they're going to give it all. But you know what? Doesn't he do the same with you? I mean, do we really think that that was just for them? When you made your commitment to Christ, now maybe you haven't in this place, and I'd love to talk to you afterwards and help you make that decision. But I believe the majority of us have done that. When that moment happened, do you really think God was excited for that moment so that you could just be partially engaged? No. Your moment of salvation and conversion, Jesus was looking at you the same way he looked at Matthew and the same way he looked at Peter and the same way he looked at Paul. All in. We may not be persecuted. We may not be killed. We may not suffer greatly as they did. But we should have the same attitude that everything we are and all we ever have or do belongs to Jesus. Because to me, to live is Christ and to die is gain. Now, that's a tough message, but that's what God wants us to be. So when it comes to all in, our example was a little boy. And in some ways, for us to actually give it all, we're going to have that same attitude. Because he wasn't worried about lunch. He wasn't worried even about how his mom was going to tan his hide when he got home because he gave up his food. Imagine him coming home, all right? And he comes home, and she goes, well, what happened? He goes, well, I gave it away. What? You did what? Well, Mom, Jesus did this. I don't believe, you know. Imagine if your kid came home and said, well, this is what happened. Oh, yeah, right. Uh-huh. He's got a pretty good story. Well, so could you. I believe that there's people just like that little boy in this room. And you think you don't have much to give. And God is ready to do the miraculous, unbelievable things through you. Because again, if you feel like the most unlikely person here, in reality, you're at the top of his list. You're at the top of his list. And why? Because I think he loves to show the world how awesome he is by using the most unlikely people to do great things for his glory. Thank God that you're unlikely. Thank God that you might feel, you know, at the bottom, because in God's way, things are different. He wants you to be all in. I want to finish with one story that just gives a good example. And this is a story from one of our churches, actually in Lexington, where our camp is located. We used to have a wonderful pastor there named Joe. He passed away a few years back. And Joe had a daughter that was an adopted daughter who was part of our youth ministries when I first began. And she was saving up her money to buy a car. I don't know if anybody's in that place. You're thinking you're going to get a car someday. She'd been working hard over a couple of years, and she had about $2,000, almost $2,000 raised up to buy a car. But she came to one of our youth events, and the speaker was preaching about this same type of subject and had an opportunity for them to give and was challenging them to give everything they had. And, you know, I've seen years and years of events where students come and they give, you know, all of their money. Their parents gave them for lunch. And then on the way home, the youth pastor buys them a sandwich, you know. So I've seen those before, but this is a little different. She was sitting there with that bank account, and she felt like God said, I want your money. Now, she's been working hard. She's been saving that. This is the only way she's going to get a car. Her dad's a pastor. He's not getting paid a lot. But she knew that God said, will you give it all? So while other students came up with their 10s and 20s, and I'm not trying to put that down, that's wonderful, she came up and she gave it all. She gave every cent that she had, thousands, that she'd raised for her own vehicle. The ironic thing is it was for a missions program we call Speed the Light that actually buys vehicles for missionaries. So even though she was raising it for herself, she gave it away for somebody else. It wasn't too much later that Joe was in his office, and all of a sudden he got a call, and it was a fellow Assemblies of God minister that was stuck on the interstate, which at Lexington's right on I-80 there. And they'd found his number through the AG directory that were sent. So this is before the internet in our car, on our phone. And they just said, I need some help. I called the AG pastor. So Joe, who actually was a mechanical guy, goes out and helps them get into town, gets them a room for the night, gets their car into a shop, and starts working on it himself. Meets him the next morning, ready to tell him, you know, it's only going to be a couple $100 to fix, and then we can get you back on the road. And this minister surprised Joe, and he said, you know, overnight I was praying, and I felt like all of this was part of God's plan. And he said, I'm not sure what the status is of the car, but I'm leaving the car with you. He said, God told me to just give it to you. I've already got another ride that's already been lined up. They're on their way here. Just be a couple hours. And I'm supposed to give my car to you. Well, it was only a couple $100. Joe fixed it up, and sure enough, he presents this to his daughter. Isn't it cool how God provided? Even when she didn't know he was going to do it. I just want to challenge you. That's a beautiful moment when you hear God's voice. And when Jesus, who gave everything for me and for you, asks you to follow in his footsteps and to give it all. That's a beautiful moment. And whoever you are, wherever you're at in this room, I just challenge you, let's be all in. Let's take advantage of that moment, even though we don't know if it's coming back, and we don't know what's going to happen, to say, God, it's all yours. That's my act of worship. I'm going to have Jay come up and close this. Thank you so much again for letting me be here. And if there's anything, any questions you have about our district or the Assemblies of God, anything like that, I'll stick around a little afterwards. I would love to interact with you. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, Toby. But isn't it wonderful how God really works? I mean, like he said, you know, he will qualify the unqualified. And standing here in front of you guys, I felt the same way. I didn't know if God could ever use someone like me, especially with the past that I've had. And he has, and he's put me in a situation where I can help kids understand that there's nothing that they have gone through that God cannot use them to further his kingdom. And just like he said, let's just all be in. Whatever God has blessed you with, he has blessed each and every one of us with a talent. It doesn't matter how small that talent is, we can use that to further his kingdom. And we've talked about that in our youth. So as I close in prayer tonight, I would like to have Christy and Josh come up here. And if there's any needs that you guys want to pray for, you guys can come up here and we'll pray with you. If you want to go ahead and bow your heads and close your eyes, I can go ahead and start praying. Lord God, your word is a lamp to our feet and our light to our path. Thank you that we can live in your light and walk in your truth, Lord God. May the message that you have revealed and the thoughts that have been shared dwell in our hearts, Lord God. Equip us, challenge us, so we are all in for you. We would pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.